Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys doing?
Great.
Hallelujah.
Dad did a wedding this weekend. I think he's in Houston, so that's why he's not here. So I'm here again. I think it's funny that Alex keeps being the worship leader every time I come to preach. First of all, we had the same first name, which is David, and we had the same birthday. So that's sort of random. So I want to talk today on worry, because I know we all do that. It was funny because I was on my way here and I couldn't get my tie on, and I was starting to worry about that, getting here on time. But Matthew 6, 25 through 34 is the chapter I'm going to be talking on today. It's an awesome, that little passage is awesome. It's all about not worrying and just giving everything over to God. Talks about the birds of the field, and you know they don't worry about anything, so why should we? What do you worry about? I know I worry about things I can't control. In my business, I can't control other people. So you know, I'm a contractor, I subcontract, and I have to trust that God's going to bring it all together, and I can't worry about whether they're there on time or whether they do their job right. So it's hard to rely on other people, so that's why you got to rely totally on God. Let's see. The human way to kind of deal with that situation is to fret and to worry. I know I can go over it in my mind over and over again, trying to fix the situation or trying to, you know, how is it going to end up? Is it going to be, you know, I can go, will everybody show up on time or everybody won't, and what am I going to do and all that kind of stuff. So, but God says in Philippians 4, don't be anxious for anything. So, I mean, that right there is a promise. Don't be anxious for anything. And so that sounds crazy because as a human, we are anxious. We think that we get stressed about things, but God says not to. It goes on to say in Philippians 4, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. So when you start to worry, all you got to do is to just go to God and give it to Him, and then thank Him immediately. So you say, you know, God, I'm totally worried about this situation, and I'm going to leave it in your hands. And if you do leave it in His hands, all of a sudden you're totally at peace. If you don't, because we don't always. Sometimes we hold on to it, and we're still stressed, and you can feel it in your gut. But that's when you know you can trust God. I mean, it's in His Word. It says, you know, you can trust me. Just leave it all in my hands, and I will take care of it. So, and that's exciting. I will try to, my wife edited the last sermon I did here, and after she took out all the ums and things like that, it was about 23 minutes, so I'll try to go longer than that today. So, it's funny, I trust God totally, and I don't know how I was able to divorce past experience from trusting God, because, you know, there are times when you'll want something to happen a certain way and it doesn't. And I guess I totally, you know, the Bible, every word in it is true. And so if God says that it's true, if I wanted something and it didn't happen, it's because I was looking at it the wrong way. So, I mean, that's concrete. I mean, it's awesome that you can stand on it, because this world is so, you know, everything is just maybe this, maybe that, you know, there's nothing solid, you know, they're always running from God because they don't, you know, if they sin, they don't want to feel bad about it, or if they, you know, they want to justify everything they do. So it's awesome that God gives us something concrete that we can stand on, and that you don't have to worry about whether or not someone's coming through or not. You know that God is there and that He'll always be there, and all His promises are perfect, and he will always stand on those promises. So there is no reason to worry, which we do anyways, but there's still no reason to worry. And it's always funny when I start to worry, and then whatever happens, I always go, well, praise God, that worked out perfectly. I don't know what I was worrying about. So let's see. Worries are a burden, and in 1 Peter it says, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. So I don't know how many of you guys read The Pilgrim's Progress, but that it's an awesome book, but it's about this guy just walking around with this massive burden on his back. And about halfway through the book, he is able to loose that burden, and he's starting to understand the joy. I mean, so in the beginning of the book, he's just in drudgery. Everybody's trying to dissuade him, hey, you don't need to do this, or don't go there. You're going the wrong way. This is too hard. And he says, you know, he keeps plodding along. Every once in a while, somebody will come in and say, hey, you got off the path, you know. And that's the Holy Spirit in the book. It doesn't say the Holy Spirit, but that's what it is. It's getting us back on the path. And then he gets rid of that burden, and he starts to, you know, rejoice. And he lost everything in that book, but he gained everything. You know, his wife stayed behind, and his kids stayed behind, but he still, you know, plodded on, and in the end, he got everything back. And that's what God does. He restores, you know, whatever the devil takes, he's going to restore from you. So also it says in that same chapter where it says he cares for you, it says the devil seeks whom he may destroy. He goes around like a roaring lion, and that's what the devil does. And so what you can do is you can laugh at him, and you go, I know that's your game, because life is like a game, and you just got to figure out the rules. And the devil's job in life is to distract us from God. And one of the big things he does is he makes us worry about stuff. And it's always ridiculous, the things we worry about, especially afterwards. I mean, when you're in it, it's not. But afterwards, you go, why did I even worry about that? So just remember that when you start worrying, it's just the devil. He's putting little doubts in your mind. And he's just trying to keep you from focusing on God, which God's ultimate plan is relationship. You know, he just wants to spend time with you. And if you're worried about things, then you're not trusting God. And God just says, hey, trust me, because you can have a better time and we can just enjoy each other. Let's see, Matthew 6:25 says, therefore I tell you not to worry about your life, what you will eat or what or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? So, I mean, it's true. When I got married this year, it'll be 16 years, I didn't have a dime to my name. And my dad even told my wife, he goes, he doesn't have a dime to his name. I don't know why you're marrying him. But I can tell you, every month, at the end of the month, since we've been married, we've always been able to pay the bills. I mean, it's like, that's God. I mean, and you ask me how, I don't know how. Sometimes, you know, we get to the end of the month, and right at the end of the month, the money that would come in, exactly what we needed to pay the bills. And there were some times where I thought, God, you are not coming through this month. But he did every month, you know. So, I mean, that's, God says that he will take care of all of our needs. So, let's see. I kind of skipped ahead, but I already said that verse about the devil being your adversary. You got to remember that God is the richest dad in the world, and he wants to protect us and to bless us. So I don't know about you, but I've got everything I need. It was a couple of years ago. There was a switch in my life where I was always trying to get things. I always thought, well, this will make me happy or that will make me happy. And it was kind of a real struggle with my wife and I, because she doesn't like to spend money because she's afraid we won't have any. And I like to spend money because I'm afraid if I don't spend it, something will break and I'll have to pay for it. So I just spend it, and that way God has to come through another way. But God flipped something in my mind, and I was just totally excited about, you know, I didn't need anything else. Nothing else was going to make me happy. I realized that he was my total joy, and that I didn't need anything else in this world to fulfill anything. And that was exciting. I can't even tell you what a burden that was, because I don't know, things are like, you know, if I have this, then people will look at me differently. They'll think I'm cool or popular, but that's not necessarily, first of all, it's not true, because people are all into themselves. So if you are worried about what anybody thinks about you, they're not thinking about you at all. They're thinking about themselves. But that was powerful for that to happen in my life, just to be at peace. And that way, when I am no longer worried about me, then my cup is full, and I can pour into other people's lives, because I'm not worried about what I can get. I'm thinking about what can I do for others, and it's genuine. It's not, if I do this, then I'll get glory out of it, because I don't want any glory. If any glory comes, I want it to all go to God. And I, when I was praying this morning, I said, God, let me speak only what you want me to speak. You know, keep any of my own garbage out of the sermon. I was talking to someone the other day about why God doesn't just give us everything. It was kind of like the whole Santa Claus thing where, you know, Christmas morning, there's gifts under the tree and Santa Claus gave it to you. We didn't do that, so I don't know about the Santa Claus thing, but, you know, I know there's gifts and they say Santa Claus on it. Why doesn't God just make everything perfect? Why is there sickness, and why is there, why is there poverty and things like that? And I had to think about it. I thought, you know, I went to God and I was like, God, there's got to be a good reason for this. And he told me two things. He said, one is, if everything was perfect, we would never have a relationship. You would just come to me for things, and you would never just want to be with me. Like, you know, if a father just is always giving their kid stuff, it's just, you're just an ATM. But there's no relationship there. But if there's problems, then you have to go to the Father and you go, hey, you got to help me work this out. And that is one. And the other one is, when you have problems and you are joyful and the world sees it, they see your salt and your light. So if we didn't have problems, if everything was always perfect, everybody would want to be a Christian. But they'd all just be in it for what they were getting. It wouldn't be because they wanted a relationship with God. It would be because they were just getting things out of it. You know, God is blessing me monetarily. God is, I'm always happy and everything. Which you can be always happy. That's the whole thing about not worrying. If you understand that God is totally out to bless you, you can totally not look at your circumstance around you and be happy. I probably shouldn't go there. My wife's not here, but I was like, we were arguing a lot yesterday, and it was funny, because I kept getting upset, and then I'd say, no, I'm gonna be happy. And I think that kind of bugs her, because I'll be happy regardless of whether she's upset, and she'll go, well, you know, I'm your first church. You're supposed to make sure that I'm always happy. And I go, God, I don't know how to make her happy. you got to give me wisdom. But it's awesome, because even in that, I can just rejoice. And in the end, she will. She'll always come around, and, you know, we say, you know, I love you, and we, you know, make up and have a great time. And it always works that way. We don't ever go to bed angry. That's just wisdom, because you'll dwell on that and you'll worry about it and you'll argue in your mind about what you should have said or whatever. So rejoice when bad things are happening. You're on the right track. If bad things are happening to you, go ahead and rejoice, because that means the devil is attacking you because you're doing something right. He doesn't want you to be in relationship with God. And when you start, I know that every time I start, it's funny because you want to tell a person, you want to become a Christian. It's amazing. But as soon as you do, as soon as you see God, I promise you're going to get attacked. So, because the devil just does it. But, you know, after a while, he'll leave you alone because he sees he's not going to win. You laugh in his face and you go, you're not going to win on this one. I'm just going to rejoice always, even in my troubles and all the bad things that happen. It's not a big deal because I know that, you know, I'm in God and God has got me in his hands and I don't have to worry about, you know, what's going on in the world. James 1 says, count it all joy when you face trials because you know that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. So, again, that goes back to, you know, actually, what is nothing? I mean, if you lack nothing, that means you have everything you need. And the answer is, you know, what is it that we need? So you don't have to worry about God taking care of all your needs, because you'll be able to pay your bills, and if you get sick, you know, you'll be healed. Even if you die, you know, praise God, you go to heaven. So, I mean, what's there to worry about? What's the worst that the devil could do? You go to heaven. So, I mean, that's not really bad. So, God is into relationship, and he wants us to spend time with him. So that's the total thing about worry. It just takes away from our time with him, because we're trying to figure it out in our own minds instead of just taking it to him, leaving it on the altar, and then just worshiping him. We need to stand on his promises. God will keep them. He keep every one of them. This Bible is a book of irrevocable promises. That means they can't be taken away. Once you see it and it's in your heart, you know it. You can stand on it. So even the ones you haven't read, because there's probably hundreds in here you haven't read, they're still there, and he's given them to you. So next time you worry or fret, you know, you just need to turn to God and say, you gave me a promise that you will never leave me nor forsake me, and you will take all my burdens and give me only the blessing. So, and I'll stand on that promise. And, you know, you just say, worry be gone in the name of Jesus, because I know it. I know worry can be, it's hard. It's hard on your body. It's hard on your relationships. So, oh, praise God, something I totally forgot. when everything fell apart back in 2009 financially, we had to start using our credit card, and that was a huge burden. It got astronomical. And just the other day, Mary and I finally paid it off, and it was awesome. It was the it's the most miraculous thing. And trust me, that's something you could definitely worry about. It comes in the mail every month, and you go, oh, man. So that was awesome. We may have to delete that from the tape. That's okay, because I do the editing. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to read Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is life not more than food, and is the body not more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. Do they not sow or reap? Do they or store away in barns? And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So right there, the Bible tells you, don't worry. It's not going to solve a problem. It's not going to fix whatever it is you're worried about. And why do you worry about clothes? See the flowers of the field? Do they not labor? Do they labor or spin? Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be given unto you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow worries about itself. Each day has its troubles of its own.
Yeah.
So, right there, that sums up everything I've been trying to, you know, talk about. I hope today that you can leave here and that when you do worry, you can totally just turn around and give it to God. I don't know if you know what that feels like. I know what it feels like to just leave it in his hands. And it's like in Pilgrim's Progress when that burden falls off and it's like you're just totally able to relax. And, you know, your mind is clear and you can have relationship with God and you're not worried about anything. I probably didn't make it 20 minutes this time. So, that's only my third time. Praise God. I'm not going to worry about that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So, it's fun. I know God has given me my wife. I'll just go off on this tangent. To show me when she does something, and I'll go, why did she do that? And then I'll go to God and I'll go, I do that to you, don't I? And I'll go, yeah. He goes, and I go, oh, praise God. Thanks you for showing me that. And so, it's amazing that she is such a blessing to me. Even when I, you know, we're fighting and I stress out because we're fighting, because we didn't grow up in a fighting family, and she did. And that's just common fare for them. And but that was such, she is such a blessing to me. I have grown more than I ever, if I had never gotten married, I wouldn't have grown as much as I have. Well, I mean, I may have. God, it's God's in God's hands. He says he'll complete the work in us, but I know that he has used her mightily to make me become a man instead of just a little kid, you know, having fun in life. So, and I've learned not to worry and just relax and just, you know, bless her and not think about myself, because I don't have to worry about this world and whether or not I have what I need, because I know that God's going to take care of that so I can take care of her. So, praise God. Any testimonies? Yes, sir.
David, it's funny that you spoke on this morning, because that's the meeting I went to last night. That's all we talked about, is the same thing.
Praise God.
Yeah, we got one of the guys there has extreme diverticulosis, mm-hmm. and an infection in his stomach. He's always throwing up. And anyway, he was just so blessed about, because of the meeting, about how to find something in the midst of your tribulation.
Yeah.
And trying to see what God's trying to show you. I mean, what is God trying to show you when you're throwing up?
Right. Absolutely.
But anyway, he was just so blessed that, because everybody talking about the certain things that are going on, that we need to look at stuff through different lenses.
Right.
Not in our human understanding.
Right. Absolutely.
Anyway, so I appreciate your message this morning.
Praise God. Yes.
I'm Kimberly. My second time here, but I'm going to go ahead and say that I watched the movie The Hiding Place a couple weeks ago. Mm. Again, it's been a while, with Corrie Ten Boom, who went through the Holocaust. And you know, there's something where she really legitimately can say, what are you teaching me, God?
Yeah.
She's surviving.
Yeah.
She's surviving, but she was able to witness to other people, we're thankful. Her sister told her, we're thankful even for the fleas, so
right.
they won't come in and rape us.
Yeah.
We're thankful for it. And she lost all her family there.
Yeah.
And just to be able to say, but God never left her.
Mm-hmm.
And she was really learning for other people, I think.
Right.
I don't think it's always about what
other right.
people learn, but how
to absolutely. Yeah, one thing in your life, yeah, the good and the bad, it makes you who you are. It allows you to be that witness to someone else. When you go through something and then you make it through and then you see someone else, you can totally be their person to go to, because you felt it. You know, you've been through it emotionally and physically, and you know, and God brought you through it. So, yeah, absolutely. I think God takes us through stuff for other people, not just our own selves. So, anybody else? Yes, sir.
This same message is in Luke.
It is.
I was reading it this morning, it was just a really great confirmation.
Cool. Yeah, he says ravens instead of birds.
A quick testimony. A while back, I got some counsel from Pastor Jim to kind of tweak something in my life.
Yeah.
And had to do with my finances. And so anyways, like, I really didn't make any sense in my mind why I should do that. I just didn't exactly, understand how I should do it. But anyway, so like, I finally decided to go ahead and do it. And as I began to kind of step out in that, when I went to check out and kind of make sure that it involved some other people. Mm-hmm. So when I went to check and make sure that thing had happened the way, I asked, for that situation to change, I ended up with like a financial bonus, like pretty wild.
Praise God.
Pretty encouraging.
Yeah.
It was a big deal.
Yeah.
And it's funny because it was the same day that at work I started, it was the first day we kind of started a prayer meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So that same day, so I learned about the pastoral thing, and I also learned how God is really excited about prayer.
Praise God.
Thank you.
So, it was a huge surprise and blessing.
That's awesome. All right. Well, I love you guys. Yes.
And, lately I've been having a couple of problems, and, I just realized lately, I never knew this consciously, but I have a tendency when I have a problem that I'm scared, I try to figure it all out in my mind,
right.
And I become compulsive.
Yes.
And then, I thought, I'm so joyful for so long because I never have a big problem, and when they come, I just go on. But when I was younger, if I liked a guy and he didn't call or something happened, I would just be so compulsive, like, why not? What happened? What happened last time? What did I say? Or talk with my friends, and I could not get over it.
Yeah.
Now I don't think about those things, but it's more like, oh, I have an issue with my tooth, and I want to figure it out, or another issue. And so, it's almost like an old wire in your mind, the way you used to deal with things, even though you're basically set free. When you're put in the cooker, that old way comes back.
Right.
And it's so detrimental. And I was reading something and it said, don't have a conversation with your problem. Have a conversation with the Lord.
Right.
And His Word.
Amen.
Because it's solid. It's truth.
It is.
Your problem's telling you a lot. Amen.
It is.
And it takes away time being with the Lord.
Right.
So it's like it's all vanity.
Yeah.
Self-absorption, and it's all about me.
Right.
So I finally got free yesterday because I was going on and on and on. I'm like, I got to keep praying. I got to keep getting through this because it was this heavy, horrible thing. I couldn't shake it, and I knew it was a lie, but I just couldn't get it off.
Yeah.
And I was free when I went to bed, and I woke up with it again. Like, I should have said this, and I should have done this, and blah, blah, right away.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus. Yeah. And it's gone now, and you just reminded me. So I just have to keep reminding myself until that becomes a new hold in my life.
Yeah. It's true. I'll testify to what she's saying. There was a big job that I know I talked about it last time that had finished up. And they kept calling me back trying to fix things. And finally, one day they called me and they said, well, none of this stuff is here and blah, blah, blah. And you're supposed to do this. And I'm like, I have no idea what you're talking about. And so I did. I started worrying about, they could have me replant everything and all this kind of stuff. And it would have been awful. And I said, and the devil kept attacking me. And I just kept, I'll give it to you. And I'd be at peace. And the devil would come back and go, oh, it's going to fall apart. And then I'd say, no, I'm not going to worry about it, and then I'd be at peace. And sure enough, after all was said and done, I went to them. I said, this is what you gave me. to plant from, and this is what I put in. And they go, oh, sure enough, we see that the landscape architect, he didn't do it right, and he signed the wrong numbers and blah, blah, blah. So, yeah, you're correct. So, you know, everything's fine. So, you know, I was like, well, why was I worrying? Because I knew I'd given it to God, and he was going to take care of it. Even if I had to replant everything, he would have taken care of it. But, you know, it's just, that's, praise God, don't worry. It wastes time. Don't waste time. There's too much to do in this life that's fun. Why worry? So, all right, praise God. Yes, sir.
You said a mouthful when you said this book is filled with hundreds or thousands of irrevocable promises.
Yeah.
The whole book is one promise, capital P,
right,
all caps, and then subset is promise upon promise. And if you got two or three, you know that there's at least 300.
Yeah.
Or 3,000 behind those.
Yeah.
Now, all of that's logic.
Yeah.
So Father and the Holy Spirit, Jesus within, begins to change our human or fleshly way of reflecting on things.
Right.
You know, I mean.
Yeah.
But to have that bedrock in your, truly in your being.
Yeah.
Everything's a promise. It's all going my way. Zippity doo dah, right?
Yeah.
Jim sang that 10,000 times, right? Zippity doo dah.
Yeah.
And you can live just about that lightly, as it were.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In the midst of, and you got to be careful because some people would get a little irritated if there's been a major accident or, you know,
yeah,
a severe diagnosis or something. So you got to be sensitive, as Jesus was. He wept,
yeah,
at a point in time that, hey, in reality, because, hey, no use weeping. He's a lot better off.
Right.
But no, he entered into their grief.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. There was actually a, let's see, I'd written down a scripture about that. I was thinking about Psalms. In Psalms 23, it says, people, we always think of the psalm, it's sort of dark, you know, I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil. But I don't think he was thinking of it as in, I will walk through the valley of shadow of death and I will fear no evil. You think of him trembling. I think he's, hey man, I'm walking through the valley of shadow of death and I'm not going to fear any evil. So, you know, it's awesome. I'm going to see if I can find that one scripture.
That's a great
thing. But it, let's see. Yeah.
Because our spirit immediately goes with the Lord.
So it must have been in my other set of notes. But it was a scripture all about, you know, that God came down to earth as Jesus and went through all the same things we did. So I'll have to look it up when I get home.
Yeah, and not to monopolize, but this whole worry thing is endemic to the species.
Uh-huh.
Psalm 23, right?
Yeah.
So you've talked about Matthew 6, right? We've read that.
Yeah.
So we've talked about the book being one big promise and then subsets. So someone would ask me, I don't know anything about the Bible, I don't know anything about it. This thing is a little confusing to me. I said, well, look, all you really need are 9 words. There's 10,000 or 100,000 words in the Bible, but 9 of them give you all you need. And I speak this out of great personal anguish from a few years back. And I would literally, because I learned Psalm 23 as a boy, and then I figured it was a little too Mickey Mouse, I guess.
Right.
Many years, I didn't give much attention to it, right? But in the depth of despair, and great worry, and great angst, and wanting to check out.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of refreshed it and learned the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just telling you, the first 9 words take care of everything and all of life and deal with worry.
Yeah.
The Lord is my shepherd.
Mm-hmm.
Last four. I shall not want.
Absolutely.
For anything.
Yeah.
So you can take Matthew 6, 24 to whatever you read there,
mm-hmm.
and then tie it to Psalm 23, first nine
yeah.
words. And if you forget Matthew 6 and you remember those nine words,
yeah.
forever and a day, from the time you're born to the time you die, He can and will,
yeah.
life within,
yeah.
give confidence that there ain't any reason to worry. Trust me, Dan, yeah. I have everything under control.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Those nine words. I mean, I'd give that's almost, that is gospel.
It is.
You
it
know,
is.
Jesus, do it. We tie Him in there. But the Lord's my shepherd, I shall not want. Okay, so for anything, do I worry? Yeah, but really not. Never.
No. Yeah.
Anyway.
Praise God.
So if I add on to that, you can think of the shepherd in Israel's times when you have the picture of the sheep around his neck. That's because the sheep cool. has been straying and he broke his leg, so he will know his father's voice.
Yeah.
And then the sheep doesn't stray anymore after that.
Yeah.
So I mean, so if you realize that the love and the broken leg is not because of cruelty, that he's your shepherd out of love,
mm-hmm.
it makes you not want.
Yeah.
You can't just see these rote memorizations without having the relationship.
Right. Yeah, that's when they come alive. So, all right, love you guys. I got to get to Fort Worth, so.